Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. 5 years ago on this Sunday, July the 5th, I entered your lives and worshiped with you for the first time at St. Paul's and preached for the first time from this pulpit. On these same Independence Day texts. What a different reality we inhabit together on our observance this Independence Day. How did you observe the national holiday? Gathered with family or friends, I hope. I hope that was possible for you. Did you sing national anthems or hymns? Did you affirm your love of country to one another? I spent the day alone, reading some U.S. history, reflecting on the passages appointed for this observance in the liturgical calendar, and I watched the celebration event offered at the Washington National Cathedral. I also reflected on my family's deep American roots. Both of my parents' families' histories precede the nation's birth 244 years ago. I have ancestors who died in the Revolutionary War, including Nathan Hale, who was hanged by the British and is acclaimed as America's first spy. You may have heard the phrase, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." So I sat yesterday, reflecting on all of that, and then on these passages of Scripture. And this portion of Deuteronomy recounts Moses' instilling God's covenant into the hearts of the Hebrews, newly freed from centuries of enslavement in Egypt. And he begins the passage we heard this way, just two or three verses before. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God demand of you? Only this, to revere the Lord your God, to walk only in his paths, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, keeping the Lord's commandments, which I bind upon you this day for your good." And then Moses reveals to the Hebrews the truth about the God who liberated them. Because the Hebrews have no nation, no constitution, no declaration, and certainly didn't have the power themselves to throw off Egypt's enslavement. This is our God, the same God, whose word incarnated all that is, the universe, the stardust from which you and I and this planet are evolving. This God is about justice, about doing right for the powerless, to bring them from diminishment to the fullness of life. Moses continued immediately after our reading. "Cut away, therefore," the actual word is circumcise, "cut away the thickening around your heart, and no more stiffen your necks. For the Lord your God is the God of gods." And then we go into our passage. How well did the new Hebrew nation take that covenant and uphold their promises that they swore to uphold to God? Some of the largest swaths of Hebrew scripture are given by God and sent to awaken the covenant people to their faults. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, we hear this. God speaking to the prophet, "Go with full throat, without restraint. Raise your voice like the ram's horn." But of course, the people resist what Isaiah charges, saying, "Why? When we fasted, why, God, did you not see? And you did not pay heed to us, God." And God said, "Because on holy days you see to your business of oppression, and you see to your business and you oppress all your laborers. Because you are in strife and contention, and you strike the weak with a wicked fist. Is such the fast that I, God, desire? Temple rituals? No. This is the fast that I desire: to unlock the fetters of sickness, to untie the cords of the lawlessness and let the oppressed go free, to break off every bondage and yoke. It is to share your food with the hungry, and to take the wretched poor into your own home. When you see the naked, clothe them. Then your light shall burst forth through like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your ruins, your ancient ruins, shall be rebuilt, and you shall restore the foundations laid long ago, and you shall be called repairers of the breach, repairers of fallen walls, and restorers of community." Does that sound like good news to you? It depends on your position in the story and in history. God's love bound God to send words of judgment to the Hebrews and to all who abide by God's law, so that those who suffered might be saved. And by whom might those who suffer be saved? By God's intervention? Or by those who hold the power to change the systems of oppression? The people of the covenant lost their nation. Did God take it from them? Or was it the consequence of the cancerous ways of those who placed the idol of self-interest at the center of their heart rather than the law of God that bound himself to them? Now, spring into the present moment, the leaders of the American War for Independence were successful. Thanks be to God. The ideas contained in the Declaration are a lightning bolt of human innovation and development. We hold these truths to be self-evident: that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Lightning bolts. In our gospel that I just read, Jesus is acting as God's truth teller, another prophet, enunciating God's justice again and living it, dying for it. You have heard it told by leaders and generations of leaders that you must hate the enemies of Israel. But I tell you, that is not God's justice. I say to you, love your enemies. So, what does God's justice and love look like? It's love that does what's necessary to raise up the sick, to free the oppressed, to support their humanity on equal terms with your own humanity. It is love that tells the truth, even when it hurts, so that reconciliation, the actual repair of the breach, may unfold. Love looks like giving your life for the life of others, which today more than ever means the janitors and the techs and the nurses and the doctors and the first responders and the soldiers and all who are serving the common good for people who need help. Sick people who need to be restored to health in the hope of living again. Those serving COVID patients do not have to befriend or like their patients. That is not why they sacrifice themselves. They sacrifice because they are human beings who acknowledge the sacredness of our shared humanity and the inestimable preciousness of life. People have sacrificed their lives in the service of this nation for generations so that its people may continue to live in liberty and in the pursuit of happiness. Christians live a life that is changed by God's love. God's love that was a sacrifice to set us free. Free from ideas that harden our hearts and stiffen our necks. And having freed us from the tyranny of, you have heard that it was said that this is how it's supposed to be, that having freed us from that tyranny, we are commissioned to be agents of God's kingdom, agents of subversive, sacrificial love. Agents whose acts of love make no peace with oppression. Agents of God's kingdom come. Christian agents of God's will working like yeast to transform this tired old world. To free it from the powers that kill, the powers that diminish, the powers that oppress, and the powers that destroy God's good creation and all its creatures. This commission was given to you and to me and to every Christian, whoever was, who is, and whoever will be, through baptism, joining our life to Christ's life and setting each of us on a lifelong journey, following Christ's way of love, learning and practicing, failing and confessing, returning, loving, crying, laughing, praying, and most of all, living with the fierce hope in love with our Creator. The Christian life is a soul-making life, a journey of becoming the beloved community. You have heard that you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I say to you, that is not God's will, not God's kingdom, and not God's justice. At no time has the colonial or national project that is now America, at no time has Christianity not been present in that project. But has the good news been proclaimed? Have God's agents followed the way? Some have, most certainly. Many have not. To me, this pandemic that all humanity is living through, is apocalyptic. In the root meaning of that word, it has nothing to do with horsemen or scary movies or destruction or fright. The word apocalypse means to unveil, to reveal, so that reality is seen and known, The reality unveiled is America's systemic racism, a pandemic of death and oppression hiding in plain sight, right in our culture, right in our institutions, and right in our monuments and our leaders. Silence on this matter is nothing short of approval. And participation in America's original sin of white supremacy and its institution. This is a great country. Let me be clear. This is a blessed, great country of promise and inestimable hope for all humanity, because we have the freedom to remake and redeem the promises that our founders' vision for this land, a land for all people, even though it was too hard for the powerful of their day to fulfill the promises of the American Creed. The American Creed. So here's what I leave you with. God's truth, as the old abolitionist's battle hymn of the Republic proclaims, God's truth is marching on. Christians are commissioned agents of the Word made flesh, who follow, who sacrifice for the life of the world. As Langston Hughes sang so hopefully, in such an American way, in his song to America, "Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, the Indians, Negroes, me. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be." Amen. Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.